Some of you may have noticed, and I love talking to people because, like, when I'm one-on-one with them, because they give me, like, weird looks. They're like, how long have you had glasses? And I'm usually like, I've always had them. I've had them for the last 4 years. Where have you been? No, I just got them 2 weeks ago. And they're great. I love them. But it's one of those things, like, you never realize how badly you need glasses until you get them. So I was driving the other day, and I was driving along, and I was like, I should be wearing my glasses. So I put my glasses on, and it was like everything, like, popped. Like, I was seeing in 3D. I was seeing colors I'd never seen before. It's like, what is happening? I got glasses. My hope this morning and my prayer this morning is that you would have glasses. Not literally on your face, but glasses for your spirit. That you would have eyes to see what the Holy Spirit is trying to put before us this morning. That is my hope, and that is my prayer this morning, that you would be able to see clearly what God is trying to say this morning. Sometimes we forget. When the rain is pouring down and thunder is crashing, when the water is rising and rising and rising and rising, and roads are literally being washed away, when it has been a long, long, hard winter, and we have seen storm after storm after storm after storm, and it has been cold, and it has just not been very bright, sometimes we forget the sun. But can we just take a minute and look outside? Look outside. The sun is out. It is bright. It is shining. I didn't even wear a coat this morning, right? This is good. God is still good. He always has been, and he always will be, even in the storm. See, this morning is a message of hope. And I pray that we don't forget. Don't forget the sun. Don't forget the sun. Because God is still good, and he sees us, and he cares for us, and he loves us. But if you do forget, it's okay. You're in good company. We're going to look this morning at the prophet Elijah. And I'm not going to read the whole story of Elijah. He spans several chapters. It's in 1 Kings. But you know Elijah. He's the prophet that you're never really sure if he did it or if it was Elisha. But this morning we're talking about Elijah. This is Elijah. He's the one who went and he prayed that there would not be any more rain. And for 3 years, there was a drought in the land. This is the prophet who went and camped next to a stream, and he drank from the stream, and ravens literally brought him food. And when the stream dried up, he went into the town and he found, and God directed him towards a widow and her son. And God told him, the widow and her son will provide for you. And she baked him a loaf of bread out of a crumb of flour and a drop of oil, because that was all that she had. But that crumb of flour and that drop of oil multiplied and multiplied and multiplied and continued to feed Elijah, the widow, and her son through the duration of that drought. This is the same prophet Elijah who, when that widow's son got sick and died, he took the son upstairs and he prayed over him, and that son came back to life. This is the same prophet Elijah who went and got all of the prophets of Baal together and said, make an altar, and I will make an altar. And whichever one of our gods brings down fire from heaven and burns up the altar is the real God. That is a great story. And the prophets of Baal, they did all of their stuff, and it was just nothing. But when Elijah prayed, God brought down fire from heaven, and it consumed
the bull, it consumed the altar, and it consumed the gallons and gallons and gallons of water that they had poured around the altar, and nothing was left. This is the same prophet Elijah who went up onto a cliff looking out over the sea, and he began to pray for rain. And he prayed for rain, and it poured after a drought of 3 years. And he went, he gathered up his robe, and he ran for 30 miles ahead of Ahab and his chariots. You ever tried to outrun a chariot? Elijah did. And Jezebel took notice of this. This is what I want to read for us this morning. It's 1 Kings chapter 19. It says, Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all of the prophets of Baal with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, so may the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow. Then he was afraid, and he arose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and he left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, came and sat down under a broom tree, and he asked that he may die, saying, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my father's. And he lay down and he slept under a broom tree. Everything that I've said so far has happened in sequence. So when Elijah had given up, when he had run into the wilderness and took camp under this broom tree to sleep and to die because it was too much for him, he had already seen God show up in powerful, glorious ways. He had already seen God provide for him over and over and over again. He had seen God literally bring fire from heaven. But when Jezebel told him, you're going to die, he forgot all of that somehow, ran off into the wilderness, and asked to die. Now, God wasn't content with this. He sent an angel to Elijah, and he said to Elijah, get up and eat. So Elijah, he got up, and there was a loaf there that the angel had brought him and prepared for him. So he ate it, and then he laid back down. And God sent another angel and said, get up and eat, or the journey ahead of you will be too great. So Elijah, he got up, he ate the food, and then he traveled 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Sinai, which is Bible speak, for a very, very long time. And it was at Mount Sinai that he encountered God. And God spoke through a whisper, a breeze. The world had given Elijah a death sentence. Jezebel said, you are going to die. But do you know how Elijah died? He didn't. God sent the valet for Elijah. He got carried up into heaven on a flaming chariot. Do you know how Jezebel died? She fell out a window and was eaten alive. See, the world doesn't get the final say. The world doesn't get the final word. God gets the final word. And his word this morning is hope. So don't give up. Don't lose faith. Don't lose hope. Whether you've been hit by the storm, literally like the rain and the floods that came last week, or the storms of life, keep going. Because the world doesn't get the final word. God does. I believe that somebody in this church today needs to hear this. And I don't know who it is, but somebody needs to hear this. You've given up. You've listened to the voice of the world. And you started to listen and agree with it, and you've begun to accept your fate. But God says, get up and eat. If you're listening to the voice of the world, you're listening to the wrong voice. We need to listen to the voice of God, the word of truth. So get up and eat of the word. Partake of his word, or the journey ahead of you will be too much. But God is up. The sun is shining. The sun is alive. He is risen. He is our hope. He is our salvation. He is for us, and he is in us. And greater is he who is for us than he who is in the world. Greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. Church, sons and daughters of God, brothers and sisters of the faith, we are a beacon of hope. We are a beacon of hope. We don't have to, I don't have to talk about the world for us to see that we live amongst a great darkness, a great brokenness, a great hurting. But we serve a greater God than that. And if God is in us, then when we go out into the world, we carry God into the world. Scripture says that God is light. In him there is no darkness. And if God is in us, that means that his light is in us. So we need to be carrying our light into the world, carrying our light into the darkness, letting our light shine. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. You don't light a lamp and put it under a basket. You set it up on a stand so that everyone can see. We are the light of the world, and we need to let our light shine. We need to be a voice of hope to the hopeless. We need to be carrying the beacon of hope to the world, to a hurting world, to a dark world, a broken world. And every time that we step out of this church or you get up out of your bed, you are carrying with you the light of Christ. And our hope, the hope that we have, comes from God, because he has called us sons and daughters, because he did die on the cross for us. God is our hope, but it wasn't always that way. See, Paul tells us in Ephesians, you were outsiders. You were once far from God. You didn't have God. You didn't have hope. You were far from him, alone and hopeless in the world. But you have been united with Christ, and he has brought you near. This is our story. As we sit in this church today, our story is that we were once outsiders. We were once far from God, but he brought us near. And I hope you see that this uniquely qualifies us to be a beacon of hope to a hopeless world. Because we can go out into the world and we can say, look, I've been there. I have been hopeless. But God brought me near. He has given me a hope. He has given me a future. He has given me life and freedom. He sees me. He cares for me. He provides for me. I have a God who loves me. And he loves you too. Come and share in my hope. And I hope that you have your glasses on this morning, because I want you to see this part. God isn't only a hope for the spiritual. He is not only our spiritual hope. He is not only our salvation for our souls. He is also our hope for the physical. When we look at Scripture, we see salvation for our souls. We have salvation for our souls. But we also see over and over and over again God showing up to deliver his people from physical trouble. We see God open up the earth and swallow entire camps of people. We see God turning the armies against each other to give Israel victory. When God was bringing Israel into his promised land from captivity, he split the sea and let them walk through on dry land twice. When the Egyptians were following him, following the Israelites, God made the sea close up over them so that they would not be any more of a hindrance to them. Exodus 14 says, "Look and see the victory that I will bring for you. The Egyptians that you see today, you'll never see again." God shows up in a very real, very practical, very physical way. Yeah, we absolutely need God to be our salvation for our souls. We depend on a spiritual hope because we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But he is so much more than that. And it's almost like we only expect him to show up and save our souls when the reality is he's more than just a spiritual God. He is a physical God as well. Our God loves us and he cares for us. And he is our hope. So take hope. Don't give up. Don't lose faith. Don't lose hope. Keep going. And maybe you're sitting there and you're like, "Listen, Pastor Cody, I've tried the God thing. I've prayed, and I still don't. Like, I'm still surrounded by storms." Elijah, when he was in the wilderness, when he had given up, God came to him, sent an angel to him twice to give him the energy to keep going. When Elijah prayed for the dead son, he had to pray for him three times before he was brought back to life. When Elijah went up to the cliffside to pray for rain, seven times he had to go down to his knees in prayer before he could see a cloud the size of a fist in the sky. That's just Elijah. What about Jesus? What about the Son of God? He healed a lot of people. And a lot of the time, he did come into somebody's life and he said, "Look, get up and walk. Take your mat and go." And they stood up. First time in their life they've been able to walk, right? They stood up, they grabbed their mat, and they walked off. He would say, "Stretch out your hand." And they would take their withered hand and they'd stretch it out. Sometimes when Jesus healed, it was immediate. But then there are times like in Mark chapter 8 where Jesus takes mud in his hands, puts them on the blind man's eyes and says, "Tell me what you see." He says, "Well, I see people, but they look like trees walking around." So Jesus touches them again. And then he sees clearly. Sometimes God answers prayer immediately, and praise God when he does. But there are other times when we pray, it doesn't seem like he's answering us. So we pray some more, and it still doesn't seem like he's giving us an answer. And it's because God has his own time. He comes and he answers prayer his way on his time. But he always answers prayer. So if you're praying and you don't feel like you've heard the answer yet, keep praying. God's not done yet. He will provide. He will come through. It's just like the song that we just learned. I count on one thing, the God who never fails and the God who's never late. He is our hope. He is our salvation. And we are the hope to the world. We are the beacons of hope. Scripture tells us that faith without works is dead. And what that means is that it's not enough to just come and sit in church on Sunday morning and worship. We have to act on our belief. It's not enough to go home and read our Bibles. We have to act on what we read. The truth is, though, church, you guys are great at this. Like, I love our church because you do act. You do act well. I mean, we're gathering flood relief supplies, and we will be for the next few weeks, but that section out there, it's already filling up. I love that. You guys do well. I mean, we've been supporting missionaries for years. And the church in Nigeria just planted a church in Chad, in large part because of your support. You guys have given generously of your time and your money to this church and this community. You act well. I believe when I look at Scripture that we don't see any action that brings change, that brings transformation, that brings victory, and freedom, and hope, that is not preceded by prayer. Every time in Scripture we see God show up in a powerful way, somebody was praying first. Ian Bounds, in his book, Prayer and Praying Men, says this. He says, perhaps the reason we see a weak and feeble God in our world is because we are praying weak and feeble prayers. Now, that was written 100 years ago, so I'm going to put it in today's speak. When we look at the world and we ask the question, where is God? Perhaps the answer is, his church isn't praying enough and bold enough. We have got to be a people of prayer. We have got to be a people of prayer, but not just prayer, bold prayer. See, we are sons and daughters of God, and what that means is that when we pray in the name of Jesus. We carry with us the name of Jesus. And Jesus says, whatever we ask in his name, he will give us. He says, go and say to this mountain, be thrown into the sea, and it will go. Hebrews tells us, come boldly then before the throne of grace. We have got to be a people of prayer, and we have got to be a people that pray big prayers. And so this morning is a message of hope, but it's also a call to prayer. And not just a call to go home and pray. Absolutely go home and pray. But it is a call to come and to pray right now. In a minute, I'm going to ask that you join me up here in prayer. Because we need to be a people of prayer. We need to be a people who join together in prayer. So there's this space right up here that never gets used, right in here, all the way across. And we're going to fill this space this morning in prayer. Now, I don't know what this looks like for you. Maybe it means coming up and kneeling at the altar because you just don't feel the hope anymore. You know that everything that I've said is true. You know God provides. But you just don't feel it right now. If that is you this morning, the stage acts as an altar. Maybe this prayer time looks like Isaiah in chapter 6, where he comes before God and the glory of God is just mind-blowing to him. It melts him. He falls flat on his face and says, woe am I, because I am a man of unclean lips, living amongst a people of unclean lips. And if that is you, find a place to lay down and pray. Maybe it means just coming and kneeling before God in prayer. or coming and standing by yourself up here and praying to yourself. And maybe it means gathering together with your friends and your family who are here today and praying together. But we have got to be a people of prayer. So this morning, I want us to come and to pray for hope. Pray for hope for ourselves, for us, but also through us. That we would come and we would be filled with the hope of God, and that when we leave, we would carry that hope with us to a hurting and broken world. Because God loves us, and he loves them too, and they need to know that. They need to know that there is a God who cares for them and provides for them. God said, "Let my house be a house of prayer." So this morning, that's what we're going to do. This space up here is a place of prayer. So I hope right now that you will come and join me in prayer. Let's pray.